Title of my message today is Three R's for Thanksgiving. You've heard of reading and writing and arithmetic. All right, you need, remember back in school where that was the big deal? You're going to learn to read, you're going to learn to write, you're going to learn to do some math. Amen? And now I'm not so sure. But anyway, sometimes I wonder. But anyway, thank God for our school. I think they're doing a pretty good job. But three R's to Thanksgiving. Three R's to Thanksgiving. Amen? And it's not reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's something else. We're going to look at them today. So let's go with this message on Thanksgiving and get us off on this theme today. You want to be blessed, and he's going to push me. Then be thankful. You want to be blessed? Be thankful. You want to be blessed? Be thankful. I'm going to tell you how you're not going to be blessed. By being an ingrate. You hear me? Yes or no? You want to be blessed? Stop complaining. Stop complaining. I'm sorry. If you're a complainer, you're wrong. Can we say that? If you're a complainer, you're wrong. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. It doesn't sound good. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Come on. Anyway, come on. Be thankful. You want to be blessed, be thankful. That's the groundwork today for us to start our series. I want to be blessed. Amen. I'll send the TV preacher $100. Amen. Get me a hanky. How about go help somebody and be grateful that you have something to give to somebody else and see if you ain't going to be happier. Amen. Say. And see if God don't bless you. Amen. Come on, guys. Let's get back to basics. Basic training. Be thankful. So, the myth of Thanksgiving. I came up with this years ago. The myth of Thanksgiving. Why are people thankful? Here's the myth of Thanksgiving. People who are thankful have an attitude of gratitude and have an attitude of gratitude have really never had it rough. That's why they're thankful. They ain't never had no problems. This is the myth of Thanksgiving. They're thankful because life's been served to them on a silver platter. I remember many years ago when George Bush Sr., way back in the day, he was running for president or something, and that governor from Texas, remember Ann Richards? See if you remember this line. Poor George. He was born with a what? Silver spoon in his mouth. We're always wanting to say something about people to tell about, you know, why they're good or why they're thankful or why they're where they're at in their life or whatever. You know, and let me say something to you. It's a myth that people who are thankful have never had it rough. You hear me? Yes or no? Okay? It's an excuse that we who have had it rough, we who are having hard times, it's a lie of the devil that makes us feel justified to have the crappy attitude that we have. Y'all listening or not? Say. It's a myth. It's a lie. Tell the devil it's a lie. If somebody's thankful, thank God they're thankful. Who gives a rip how they were raised or how much money's in their bank? I'm just tickled that they're happy. Amen? Say. Come on. Come on, don't make excuses for yourself. And that's the myth of Thanksgiving. They have no clue what hard times are. That's why they're thankful. All right, let's keep rolling here this morning. But let's talk about it. Being thankful and having a grateful attitude is not about how good or bad you have it or what you have or what you don't have. Y'all stay awake with me. I ain't putting you to sleep. I'm trying to holler at you. It's not about how much you have or you don't have. It's about a what? Decision. It's about a what? It's a choice. It's a decision that you have to make. I have to make that choice to be thankful. I got up this morning, got dressed early. I'm leaving the house. I'm living in Old Englewood now. Bought a home in Old Englewood a few months ago. 60 years old. I like those old homes. It's right there near Indian Mound Park. I like the water. I'm not on the water, but I like being close to it. I like to smell it. I like birds that fly near the water. I love this stuff. I like being able to walk to the pizza place on Dearborn Street or go to the... I can't go to the Mexican place anymore because my thing hurts me, but whatever. I can look at it and smell it, but anyway. But I'm leaving the house this morning, and I look back. I'm in the carport area. I look back, and I look at the pool. It has a pool. And I went, that's a beautiful... Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful pool. And then I said this. Everything I have in my life is beautiful. Just me alone on the carport early in the morning. Thank you for my beautiful wife. Thank you for my beautiful children. Did you know I can put the word beautiful in everything in my life? I can put the word beautiful in front of everything. Thank you for my beautiful Jeep out front. It's a 93 and I restored it. You might not like it, but it's beautiful to me. Thank you for my beautiful Titan pickup truck. You hearing me say, thank you for my beautiful shoes my brother gave me. Thank you for my beautiful shirt, Lord, that my daughter gave me several months ago and I was too fat to get in it. You hearing me? I know I'm a little goofy this morning, but isn't it amazing? Wouldn't you? I want you to think about it. How beautiful. Thank you for my beautiful church. And thank you for my beautiful church family. Don't you agree? Thank you for my beautiful town. Thank you for my beautiful beach. Am I right or wrong? I'm right. Can we thank Him this morning? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. And I say that to you. I know it's a little weird getting off the message and Roger's wondering what's he doing up there on stage right now. But the point is that wasn't me, guys. I mean, people say, I told someone last week, I said, I think I'm a lot nicer than I used to be after a lot of pain in my life and struggle. And she told me, she's known me for 30 years. She said, you've always been nice. I've always known you like that. But I know me better than other people know me. You know? And I know that I have a better attitude. And I know I'm more thankful. And I know that that's not Gary on that carport looking back and saying that's beautiful. And then saying the next thing's beautiful. The next thing's beautiful. That's the Lord. That's the Lord helping me to lift my head, lift my eyes, and to see the good things that He's done. Amen? And if I, you know, I need help like that. I don't know where you're at on the page, but I think it's good. Amen? Come on. So, anyway, back to this, though. Here we go. We'll get back to earth. If you're thankful or not, I'm going to tell you something. It's what you think about God. Whether you're thankful or not is about not so much about how good you've had it or how bad you've had it. It's what you think about God. And what do I mean? God is good or God is bad? Your choice. You ever blame God for something? Come on, don't lie. Come on, you ever blame God for something? Come on. Yeah, we blame God. Have you ever said this? I can't believe God let that happen. Let me see this. Oh, now I got you. That's called blaming God, okay. You know, that's what we do. We blame God, or I can't believe God let this happen. So if I'm going to be thankful or grateful, it's on how I view God. God is good or God is bad. If you're thankful, you're thankful to what? Years ago, I met a young lady. She called me. She'd come to church. She asked if I'd meet her on Boca Grande. I said, well, I will, but I'll bring my wife with me. So I met her. And she had heard us a couple of times, and she started out the conversation. She said, I'm an atheist. But I listened, been coming to church a little bit. And she said, something happened to me. She said, I walked these beautiful beaches at Boca Grande. And she said, I caught myself the other day and I said something. I was walking the beach and I said, I am so thankful for this beautiful beach. And she's an intellectual person. And she said, I must be thankful to somebody. Who am I thankful to? And so she called me, and through time, I was able to introduce her to the Lord. And she opened up her heart, and she led her to the Lord right there that day on Boca Grande, and that's a beautiful thing. The point is, you're thankful to somebody, or you're not thankful to somebody. Y'all listening or not? That's why I say if you're thankful or you're not thankful, it's about your view of God. Because whether you know it or not, God is, and whether you know it or not, God created everything that is. And He's ruler and He's everything. And so if you're thankful or not thankful, it's your view of who? It's God. Okay, keep looking. If you're unthankful, you're unthankful to somebody. We just talked about that, okay? So we got that down. So how do you view God? Stop blaming it on your past. Stop blaming it on the ex. Stop blaming it on the boss man. Stop blaming it on the president. The president, okay? Are you kidding me here? Say. I love America because if you don't like the president, he ain't around very long. Amen? Say. Y'all hear me or not? Say. Thank God for America. Thank God that we have this country. Thank God that 395 years ago, this coming Wednesday, pilgrims came to this land. And they established Thanksgiving on the 29th of November, 1623. 153 years before this country became a nation. Amen? And their thanksgiving was to God. That's who we are, people. Amen, say? Amen. That's who we are. So, how can I be thankful, Pastor? And here we go with the word this morning. Well, the meaning of thanksgiving is to express gratitude. To express gratitude. Keep looking, push me. It means to show appreciation. This is Webster's, for favors or gifts. Keep looking. When you are unthankful, you do not express gratitude. Keep going. When you're unthankful, you do not show appreciation for favors or gifts. What I mean favors, things that God has blessed you with, things in your life, opportunities. If you're anything like me, we just go through life half the time and we're just not thankful for things and what God's done for us, okay? So when you're unthankful, you're what? Say it with me, you're what? Can we say it louder? You're what? Okay, we're selfish. That's the bottom line. Selfishness stinks. It doesn't it? We don't like being with selfish people. Guys, and if you're selfish, here's the news. People don't like being with you. Yeah, but they're with me. Whatever. Come on, it stinks. Selfishness stinks. That's mine. I tell you what, I've been working on Abby. She's 7. And she doesn't like to share. And I know Grandma don't like to hear that, but it's the truth, Granny. Did you know they tell us, as far as learning goes, when you are selfish, it really stunts your education. It stunts the opportunities in the world and in life that you're going to have. I mean, reading, writing, and arithmetic is really important, but so is teaching a child how to share. And to care. Amen? You listening? So, I mean, I'm having to do this all over again. Amen? And it stinks. It's no good. Come on, share your stuff, right? Say, come on. Here we go. Selfishness, covetousness, and greed, they all come from the same root. Selfishness, covetousness, greed, they all come from the same root. What's the root? An ungrateful spirit. An unthankful spirit. Some bad stuff comes from being ungrateful. Okay? So selfishness is never satisfied. We're just rolling here a little bit. The Bible says, know ye this, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Men shall be, set with me, lovers of what? Themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Say the word with me. And what? Amen. Would you say that's a pretty good picture of current day world's situation? Say, sure it is. You don't know if you're living in the last days, all right? Just look around. Amen. Come on. Selfishness exalts itself. That's what selfishness is all about. Its motto is this: I must increase in everything and everybody else must what? The problem with that is that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Apostle John said. Here's what the Apostle John said. Say it with me. He must increase, but can we say it again? He must, but isn't that the way it should be said? Say, amen. Come on. Keep looking. So selfishness also kills spirit. It kills spirit. Selfishness, I watch it in ball. Coaching ball, being around ball. Didn't matter what kind of ball it is, does it, coach? It can be on a basketball court. When you got a point guard coach who doesn't want to get the ball off down here to the forward or run the play, he just wants to take the shot at the top of the key because he's selfish, and it's a pain in the rear, ain't it, buddy? And we're going to get another point guard, ain't we? It kills team spirit. I watched it the other night at the football game. I won't mention his name, but I'll tell him to his face. The other night at our football game, our quarterback goes back. Okay? He's got people coming after him, wanting to kill him. Okay? He runs all around, and he throws the ball. And it is a lofted ball. It is lofted. Well, he could have been sacked. At least he got the ball off. You know what I mean? The ball goes like this. and it comes down like this, and it hits our receiver in the hand. Did you see the play? Hits our receiver in the hand. What does our receiver do? He drops the ball, goes back to the quarterback and says, "Hey man, throw the ball straight." Isn't it a quarterback's job to get the ball to you somehow? Does it always have to be straight? So for a moment, I told him off. Come on. And you know what? Here's the point. I went to the quarterback and I told him, I said, "Jeremy, hey, you got the ball there. That was on him." He said, "No, that was on me. That's my fault." So here's what happens. When we're selfish, we can affect the attitude of other people. Instead of that quarterback thinking, "Hey, I got the ball to him. At least I got the ball to him. At least I got the ball off." He had already taken into himself that criticism from that receiver. That he, you know, he did a bad thing. He didn't throw the ball right. Did I lose you on that or not? Selfishness. Selfishness kills spirit. Kills the spirit of a team. It kills the spirit inside of you. It kills the spirit in somebody else. Boy, a selfish spirit will ultimately end in what? Loneliness and what? How many have really known in life some really selfish and sort of crabby old people? They end up all by themselves. You ever known anybody like that? And they wonder, like, "Why does nobody love me?" Because we can't be around you. I'm sorry. Tough, ain't it? That's a tough word, ain't it, today? It's a thing that kills and steals and destroys. You ever heard that before in the Bible? Something kills, steals, and destroys. Well, guess who does that? The thief. That's the devil. The thief, Satan, comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He comes in the form of selfishness. That's what he does. He will destroy your life by you being selfish, me being selfish. Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have what? Life! And that you might have it more what?" It doesn't mean he's going to make you rich. It means you're going to start seeing I'm rich already if he doesn't give me another thing. Because I have him. And I can do anything with him. I can make it through anything with him. But Satan wants you to be selfish. Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. I love you. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What more do you need?" Amen. Say, "You've got me. You've got everything." Satan wants you to think you have nothing. So the question is, are you thankful today or are you selfish? Amen. How many are like, "Wow, this is mean"? We ain't never got to know R's yet. Here we go. 3 R's to Thanksgiving. We're not going to be long. Hey, now you got to act like you're interested. Hey, Steve, act like you're interested. Hey, listen, how about this? How about act like you're interested? It's when I took you to lunch and I acted like I was interested in what you were telling me. How about that? Did I stay awake at lunch? Did I? Hey, when somebody's from Philly and Jersey, you can bust their chops because they can take it. You think you're back home, don't you? Here we go. 3 R's for Thanksgiving. Now that you know selfishness is not right, I think I've got you convinced. Let's be thankful. Number one, how can I be thankful, Pastor? 3 R's, remember. Say that with me. I want you to say it. Come on, one more time. There's only 3 of them. You can do this. Remember. Remember. Be content. Be content. Remember. What do I mean, remember? Be content. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great what? If I only had this, if I only had that, if I only had this, I'd be happy. Your happiness, you can control your happiness. You can be content right now today with everything you have or with what you don't have. You can be content right now today. And stop saying, "But you don't understand, but you don't understand." No, you don't understand the Word of the living God. Godliness with what? Is great gain. For me to have Jesus, for me to have my sins forgiven, for me to have the knowledge that I can be good and kind and love people and care for people and make good choices in my life and do the right thing. My goodness, I'm so far ahead of most people, it don't even matter. Just in that right there. Amen. Say. People are crazy out there, aren't they? Say. But to be able to have God in your life and to know that you're loved and to know that you have value, and that you, oh my goodness, this is incredible. What more do I need? Amen. Say. Come on. Godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Oh, if I just had this, I'll be happy. Well, you're going to be really unhappy one day when you're in a coffin and you ain't got nothing. There ain't no U-Haul behind the hearse, baby. It's not happening. Okay? Come on. And having food and what? Clothes, let us be what? Let's do a quick test. How many this past week you ate at least one meal? Can I see your hand? And I'm looking and I don't see anybody naked. So there is the qualifications for contentment. Food and clothing. If I got food and I got clothes, you can be content if you don't have food and clothes. But he gives you a little break right there. If you got food and clothes, you're without excuse. Yes or no? That's what the Bible says. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So remember, man, remember, be content. Remember. And our other word under remember is grateful, grateful, grateful. So I got the R's, then I got some C's, and then I got some G's, okay? All right, so grateful, grateful. So we're talking about remember. Say these with me. Say them real loud. We're talking about remember. If you want to be thankful, here's the first R. Say it with me. Remember the... What are basics? Food? Clothing? What's some other things that are basics we can add to that? Shelter? Okay, got a car, doesn't matter what kind it is. Maybe you got somebody in your life, a family, a wife, some young'uns. Amen. Say. Basics. We got the beach. Come on. Come on. Remember the basics. Remember you can't take it with you. Remember you can't take it with you. We're talking about remember. How can I be? Some people get so, gosh, I gotta watch my language. So messed up. Looking at their 401ks, or looking at what they had, or looking at what they lost, or looking at whatever, they never can see what they have today. They can't live in the now because they're living in the past. Come on, man. Remember, you can't take it with you. You know, if you lost something, you lost it. Good. Bye. It's gone. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Come on. Remember this. Another remember. Remember what? God is, and He's good how? All the time. And all the time, God. Well, you just crazy. You think God's good all the time? I sure do. And when I don't think He's good, I'm being bad. And I'm wrong. Amen. Say. So the three R's to Thanksgiving. So number one is what? You got it, Steve? Aren't you glad I woke you? He wasn't asleep. I'm just messing with him. Here we go. Number one, remember. Number two, this isn't hard. We're moving now. Number two, release. Say that with me. Release. One more time. Release. Be compassionate. If number one is remember, be content. Number two is release. Be compassionate. You want to be thankful? Be compassionate. It's a key to Thanksgiving. It's when I love other people. When I bless other people. It's a blessing to be a blessing. Isn't it a blessing to be a blessing? How many like to be a blessing? Amen? It's a blessing to be a blessing. It's a blessing to be a blessing. Yeah, come on, praise the Lord. It's a blessing just to be a blessing. Come on. But if you're never a blessing, if you never release, if you're never a blessing to somebody, you're never going to be thankful for being a blessing because you ain't. Being a blessing is a blessing. Release. Be compassionate to people. The early church. I love this. One of my favorite passages. And the multitude of them. These are right after Jesus was crucified. He's resurrected. Peter preaches and they're being hunted down like dogs. They're meeting in homes. They're housing one another. It's not because we're going to church tonight. No, it's because they were being hunted down like dogs. They're meeting with one another. They need each other desperately. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart. They were of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things what? Common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great what? Grace. Man, when we can get to the place in our life for when what I have in my life is really not my own anymore. Great power is unleashed in my life. And then great grace is unleashed in my life when I realize what I have is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm here to glorify God. And anything I have where I can be a blessing, God will give me power, great power. He'll give me grace. He'll give me great grace. Thanksgiving's pretty important, isn't it? Say. Oh, and by the way, if you're selfish, none of this works. Just saying. Neither was there any of among them that what? Lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they did what? Sold them. They brought the prices of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had what? A need. Wow. Our word is release. Neither was any among them that lacked. Nobody lacked. The thing I love about this ministry, one of the many things, we started 13 years ago with nothing. And here we are today. And not one time in those 13 years did I ever lack. Gary Clark never lacked. I never went hungry. Oh, are you kidding me? No. I had a church ready up in Venice that was going to pay my salary when we started. They were going to pay my salary if this thing wasn't going to fly. Or if it was going to be really, really slow going. They were willing to meet whatever need I had at my home for my family, my children. I never one time had to call them. They met with me. They said, absolutely, Pastor, we're with you. But not one time did I ever have to call upon them. Every need we have has been met. When we know what we need to raise money for the seats, did we get it? Yes or no? When we need to raise money for the crazy lights that came and hit us in the stomach, did we get it? Is that the truth? We've never lacked. Here's the interesting thing, though. But we've never had a lot of extra. Fellowship Church doesn't have a fat bank account. We don't have a fat bank account. God meets our needs. We try to be people of integrity. What does that mean? When you get a bill, pay it. We are holding right now, just being honest with you, we're holding a couple of bills right now. Why? Because they haven't finished the work right. You understand? If it's not finished right, if the toilet's in the bathroom, you ain't getting your money till you make it stop going. Is that reasonable? Yes or no? Not holding back everything, but you pay those final things as the final work is approved. Is that correct? And even though it's approved by the county, it ain't approved by us. But we're not being ugly. But the point is, I'm just saying, God has met our needs. You listening? Yes or no? And God is faithful. So whatever we've needed, we've had. Whatever was needed was what? Given. Do you ever remember us having a car wash here to raise money for the building? Yes or no? No. Do you ever remember us having bake sales and selling cookies and cakes to get money for this building? Yes or no? Do we ever have a yard sale where everybody brought all their stuff and sold it to get this building? I'm not against those things. I would prefer us not ever having to do it. You want to have a yard sale at the house? Have it. Bring whatever you get. Give it to the church if you want to. I'd rather this place to be a church. You understand? Yes or no? A church. A place where you can come. A place where you can worship the Lord and not turn it into just whatever out in the yard all the time. That's me just talking up here on stage, though. Amen? Say. And we've got a pretty good track record that God's faithful. Amen? If we are thankful and not selfish people. If we ever get to the place where we're selfish, it's going to be very difficult on us. Keep releasing. You listening? Giving is our word. Now, under remember, our word was grateful. Under release, our word is what? Giving. Release, give, release, be compassionate, give. Release love. Say that with me. Release love. Release love. Let love come out of you instead of hate, instead of meanness. I got a lot of mean I can still give. I do. But I need to release the love that I can give. Amen? Come on. Release what? Kindness. It's in you. How many ever surprised yourself with some kindness that you did before? Anybody got shocked? Like, I did something that was really kind. I shocked myself. I was so kind. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in this world. God, the Holy Spirit, can make great kindness come out of you if you have that attitude. Amen. Come on. Oh, this is my message. You can tell it. Here it is. Release money. Release money and things. And I hate to be ugly, but this is some meanness coming out of me right now. If you're selfish, a big part of me wants to pray that you lose everything. That's mean, ain't it? I would so much rather you would be kind and that you would give to people. That you would be a giver. And I'm not saying bring it to the church. Give it to the church. Give it to the church. We say if you can't give what, keep it. Can't give what? Then keep it. But I would so much rather, and I bet you if you are selfish with your money and your things, it's affecting your wife. It's affecting your children. It's affecting your husband. It's affecting your family. And you're going to, and you're, you know, and you use it sometimes to control people. Your stuff to control people. Instead of to love people. That's hard, ain't it, today? Sorry. That wasn't in the message, was it, Raj? Raj's like, you're on your own on that one, Pastor. So, remember, number one, release, number two. Be grateful under number one. I mean, be content under number one. Be compassionate under number two. Be grateful under number one. Be giving under number two. Got it? Say. Come on, let's look at the third one. We're done. Number three. Resolve, 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 resolve. My word here, be centered, resolve. Decide in your life, I am going to be a thankful person. I am going to center, I am going to center, I am going to focus that it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all Him, it's all Him. He did everything. He created me in His own image. He gave His life for me. He saved my sorry tail is what He did. He's given me the freedom to live in this country. He's given me the job I have. He's given me everything in my life. He's given me people in my world. Listen, resolve to think like that. You listening? Be centered. Be centered. Yeah, but. Say, get the heck out of here, but. Gotta watch it. Here we go. Be centered. Are you listening? Be centered. Catch yourself when you're drifting this way into selfishness. No! Get back over here and be centered. Resolve to be that way. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. That takes strength to do that. Yes or no? Have that kind of resolve, that kind of tenacity. Believe like that. Resolve. Bank it all on Jesus. Every bit of it. Now this is me talking. This is me when I'm in my right mind. When I'm at my best. This is how I think. But I do like you, perhaps. And I get off the center and I wonder. There comes the discontent. There comes the lack of compassion. I must resolve and be centered on Him. Amen? That's what this means. Three R's. Here's our G. The first one was grateful. The second one was giving. The third one is, you know how hard this is to come up with all these letters? Glorify! Glorify the Lord! Resolve to glorify the Lord! I'm going to be thankful because I'm going to glorify Him. As long as I have breath, I'm going to sing. I want to speak. I want to cheer. I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement to glorify the Lord. And when people say, wow, I really like you. You're an amazing guy. I can go, oh, it's all because of Jesus. Amen. I glorify the Lord. You don't know me. And you don't want to know what lurks inside of me. But because of Him, I can do all things. I can glorify Him. I can say no to self. He gets the credit. Amen. Say, come on, glorify the Lord. Several points. Say that with me. Jesus Christ is my life. And we're just going to close with a bunch of scriptures coming at you. From Philippians. The man who wrote Philippians was the Apostle Paul. He happened to be in the slammer, locked up for his faith. So when you make excuses that you can't be thankful and you can't be centered and you can't do this and you can't have the resolve, you're just a big excuse maker. If the man in prison could do it for doing no wrong except loving Christ, you can certainly do it living in America in the air conditioning. Amen, say. Come on. On a beach town. Come on. Jesus Christ is my life. Have this kind of resolve. You want resolve in your life? This is how you get it. Jesus Christ is my life. For me to live is what? And to die is what? Get to that place in your life. If I'm living, it's Christ. And if I'm dead, great. I'm with Jesus. It's hard to hurt somebody like that. Amen? Number two. Say that with me. I press forward toward Jesus Christ. Go for my... We're talking about being centered. Being centered. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are what? Behind. And I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in who? In Christ Jesus. Centered. Amen. Resolve. Number three, say it with me. I rejoice in Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always, the man in the prison cell said. And again, I say, in just case you didn't hear me, rejoice in the Lord. Be centered like that. When something's bad and that's our natural response, is just, and have this crappy attitude about something, find something to rejoice about. Yes or no? I'm not talking about not living in reality. Reality is to be centered. Reality is to live in the real world, yet to have a victorious attitude. Amen. Number four, help me with it. I have peace through Jesus Christ. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with what? Let your requests be made known unto God. You got issues, you focus it on Him. You got problems, you talk to Him about it. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through who? Jesus Christ. Centered. Am I driving you crazy with this centered stuff? Number five, say it with me. I think on good things because of... You don't believe in that Jesus guy, do you? I'd be a disaster without Him. He's not only my life, He's that and much more. He gives me my focus. And buddy, I still screw up. I'm glad He can get me back to center. You hearing me? The mind is a terrible thing at times. It's a beautiful thing, but it's a terrible thing at times. But this is what Jesus can do for you. Look at it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Get your head off the other mess. Get your head on Him. Think on the good things in your life. When you start getting into this selfishness and whatever, this attitude where the thief comes to rob, steal, kill, destroy, get focused. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And He will help you get out of that mess and get your head back right. Yes or no? It does. It works. And this is not me just telling you the Bible, baby. This is me. I've lived this. I still struggle. Say that with me. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Regardless. You mean you think you can do anything through Jesus Christ? I'm not saying I can do anything. I'm saying I can do all things, no matter what it is I face in life. I can do it through Jesus Christ. Sorry. I've lived life long enough, whether I've lived it myself or I've counseled people, I've seen almost everybody go through everything as long as I've lived and loved on people and cared for people. There's horrific things people go through. And with God's grace, they make it. And some of the ones who've gone through the hardest times smile the biggest, because they've had God and He's been with them. And when God's been with you, and I see you shaking your head, some of you, when He's been with you through cancer, when He's been with you through rape and abuse, when He's been with you, in my case, when your mother shot to death with a .357 Magnum, He's been with you when people you love walk out of your life, you start to realize, wow, I can do all things through Christ. Amen? Are you hearing me today? The thing that will kill, steal, and destroy that is an excuse-making attitude. And that's the devil. That's not glorifying God. You can do it through. You can make it through anything. Think that way. Be centered. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever what? State. That even means Florida. I am therewith to be what? Tell yourself that when you're from Michigan or wherever you're from and you don't like this town. Tell yourself, I need to be centered. I need to be focused. I need to be thankful that I live where I live. Does that make sense? Yes or no? When your house gets foreclosed on and you're renting, be thankful. I know I don't have what I have, Lord, but help me, Lord, to be centered that I do have a roof above my head. I do have clothes on my back. I do have shoes on my feet. Be content, man, no matter what situation you're in. Yes or no? I know, this is a man from prison writing. I know, and by the way, he was beat, left dead. This guy went through hell and back. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to what? Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be what? Full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. It's going to happen. And then this incredible verse, we quote it all the time. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ. Strengthens me. Resolve to glorify the Lord. Oh, and here's the last one. Say that with me. I have all my needs met by... I got to quit. But I think a lot of times we don't glorify the Lord because, I don't know, I think we did it sometimes. And if you get to the place in your life where you're focused, where everything I have is Jesus gave it to me, it'll change you forever. Look at this verse. But my God shall what? Supply all your what? According to how much is what? Riches where? By who? Amen. Amen. We're done with the message, I believe. Three R's to Thanksgiving. Pop them up, Rod, so we can see them one more time. Three R's to Thanksgiving. Remember. Remember. Be content. Be grateful. Number two, three R's. Release. Release. Be compassionate. Let it flow through you and out of you. Giving. And number three, resolve. 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 Be centered. Be centered. And glorify the Lord with your life. If this is the only day you have yet to live, you might not get another one. This day, I will glorify the Lord. This day, I will live for Christ. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for His Word this morning. Come on, amen. Come on. Boom. That's a blessing.
1:30 meets every Sunday morning on our beautiful 15.5-acre campus in the bullseye of Rotunda, West Florida, at 140 Rotunda Boulevard West. Early worship begins at 8:30 a.m., with our morning worship service beginning at 10:30 a.m. Between these two services, we offer gourmet coffee, fresh juices, pastries, and lots of fellowship free of charge in our hospitality center. If you are looking for a church in the Englewood area or would just like to pay us a visit, we would love to fellowship with you. For more information, give us a call at 941-475-7447 or log on to fcenglewood.com. For Pastor Gary Clark and all of us at Fellowship, God bless you.